Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 670, First Quack at Discovery, recorded live on February 20th, 2019. Everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are very privileged and honored to have two very, very special guests on the show tonight. One, which has been on the show. The other, I can't remember if he's been on or not, but we'll get to that in a second. First up is the event programming manager of Halo Outpost Discovery, and ex-Griffball commentator, and just overall happy fun dude, DJ Blue PDX.
What's up, everybody? Hi.
Welcome back to Podtacular.
Yes, thank you. I don't know how to be normal. I apologize.
Oh, dear God.
Well, no, it just is your normal. That's just your normal.
Yes, yes.
And Pins with the 41-month sub on Twitch. Dang, dude. That's crazy. Yes. Oh, DJ, welcome back. We also have joining him John Friend, who is one of the product managers over at 343 Industries. So welcome to Podtacular.
It's exciting to be here. I think it is the first time.
Yeah, because I know we did a show with Halo Collector and Laird, and I think we tried to get you and possibly James on the show, but I couldn't remember if you were on that show or not.
I don't think so.
So, yeah, welcome to Podtacular.
Woo! I have no DJ voices, but I am excited.
It's all good. Yeah. So we have a question that we normally ask people for the first time on the show, and I don't want to get too much away from our main topic of the show, but the two questions are, and we already have the answer to one, so we'll just skip it, but how'd you get involved with Halo in the first place? What got you into it? And the second question would normally be, what do you do for Halo? But I think everyone pretty much knows what you do. So we'll just answer the first one for now.
So I guess, like, funny story, actually, what got me into Halo, like, originally before it became a work possibility was I won a fantasy football pool and came into a couple $100 and was like, all right, I got to go spend this on something that I'm just going to enjoy. And so just ran out and got Xbox, and obviously picking up Xbox first time. That was back in the day. This was CE days. So Halo had to come with it. And that got me started long time ago. And then from a career point of view, I was working on some projects. I was at Lucasfilm working on a couple projects with Microsoft, and, you know, got to know a bunch of people around Xbox, and one thing led to another and ended up moving up north to the Northwest.
Very cool. So you got quite a bit of experience behind the Xbox and Halo brands then.
A decent amount. Sadly, well, I mean, DJ's got the same hairstyle I do, but I think I probably I've got a couple years on him, so I've been doing this or things like it for a little while.
So what you're saying is that you're really good with a hammer and a sword.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Awesome. Right. Perfect.
Sorry. Gosh. Wow. Alrighty then. So the reason we have both of these gentlemen on the show, and we've been hyping this up for the past couple of weeks now, is with the recent announcement of Halo Outpost Discovery. It makes sense to get some of the people responsible behind throwing this all together. And DJ being one of the longtime friends of the podcast, and coming to be a pretty good friend in real life as well, it was fitting to have him on, especially him being the event project coordinator or manager. The project coordinator?
Event programming manager.
Manager, okay. And he is, if there's pretty much anything you need to know, he's the one that's kind of helping get a lot of the stuff going. So we have a list of questions that we're going to be going through that have been either pre-approved or pre-disapproved to answer. So we'll find out during the show.
You're just going to ignore the disapproval, right?
Pretty much. Well, you guys haven't told me which ones are not allowed to be talked about, so I'm just going to ask them and we'll see how things go.
Let's do it real time. I need a buzzer or some kind of a sound effect here. I'll work on it.
If suddenly we both disconnect from the call, clearly it was the wrong question.
The higher powers that be here are like, nope.
Nope.
We are. Oni is watching. All right. So we are going to start off with some basic background related questions, and we'll start digging into some of the specifics as we go. I don't know for those that are in the live stream if we're going to be taking questions during the podcast. I think if there's something that pops up that John or DJ want to address that they can address, they might do it. But for the most part, we're going to follow the format of the questions that were collected and sent in beforehand. So it won't be as interactive as we normally are. But if we can answer some questions, then I will leave that up to DJ and John to chime in and answer those questions. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
So, the big one. Halo Outpost Discovery. How did it even start out with? How did it came to be in existence and be a thing?
All right. So, backstory is we I joined 343 around the time of Halo 5 and had the opportunity to see firsthand fans come together and have these amazing Halo experiences. And to me, the one that really triggered it was at E3, as we were preparing for the launch of Halo 5, we did a HoloLens exhibition where you got to actually check in to a Halo installation. And through the HoloLens, you got to see it, something as simple as a waypoint marker. But it was actually like you're physically standing there and you're looking around at the setting. It feels like you're in the game. And then you see a waypoint marker in front of you. And it was just magical. And that plus the accumulation of other experiences, which could be as simple as just standing in line with fans at RTX and talking to them while they're shooting darts at Halo targets, which seriously, like at literally we set up something so simple at an RTX in Austin a couple of years ago there was never a point where we didn't have 30 people in line just to come shoot darts and talk to us. And and on the other side of the booth, you could be playing Halo Wars 2. And so it was these amazing physical experiences that made us want to figure out, okay, how do we actually create something completely different that is like brings all these great aspects of the game, but brings our community together and lets people share it with other people, like share it with the other people around you. I mean, I've got my oldest son is phenomenal at Halo. I am oftentimes not the greatest. And like, here's a place where he doesn't need to just carry me through a match as I'm hiding in the corners, trying to avoid getting, you know, headshot again. Here's a place where we can actually go and enjoy the Halo together in a completely different physical way. So we built a strategy. This is multiple years ago, started talking to great companies in location-based entertainment. And around the same time, Hirschend, which had expanded a few years back with the acquisition of the Harlem Globetrotters, they were looking for ways to expand their capabilities and get after new audiences. They loved gaming and they were really interested in gamers and gaming communities. And when we got together, we started brainstorming and it just clicked immediately and it hasn't stopped. So there's strategy behind it, but a lot of the magic came out of like literally standing in lines with our fans, talking to our fans and seeing how awesome it was when we could get together and engage with them. And when they could get together with each other and make new connections and share something they loved. You know, once upon a time, I remember hanging out with a guy and meeting his fiance. And she was getting exposed to Halo for the first time. And it was amazing because it wasn't just like it wasn't just the gameplay. It was like the blasters and it was the art and it was the community of people around it that made it special. And so it's like all that stuff rolled up into an awesome burrito.
I wonder who you could be talking about.
Dude, I remember that. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was good. No, it was good. And the funny thing is, a couple of things, I mean, everything that you mentioned, I got to experience the HoloLens experience and then the San Diego blaster shootout stuff. And Laird mentioned the headcam video that we took that's somewhere on one of my hard drives that I still haven't uploaded to YouTube yet.
Wow. Get good.
Yeah, I know. Hashtag fail. It's there. I have it. I think I know where it is actually. Yeah. So it's really cool to just see something like this come to fruition. I know there's been a lot of probably just water cooler discussions between different community members of wanting to have something like a Halo Fest again. So how much influence from Halo Fest does Outpost Discovery have?
I think there's learnings. And again, it's there, you know, that's one of the, I wasn't here for Halo Fest, but know of it and have been part of other fan events for other brands. But I think the secret sauce of what we're developing here is it's inspired by all these things that we've seen, like Halo Fest and E3 and even the blasters, but it's completely new. And it's on a massive scale, totally different scale than we've ever been able to do before. And it's to me, what I'm excited about is it's that combination of an immersive, fully themed experience. I mean, the UNSC is sending an outpost to Earth and it's arriving in Orlando in July, and you're going to be able to go in it. And in that space, you're in the Halo universe, and everything in there is designed to get you sort of grounded in the Halo universe and learn about it and feel like you're in it. But then surround that with all the awesome fan stuff that you would expect from a fan fest or a con. And there's gameplay, and there's going to, you know, we've got cosplay, and we'll have, you know, the kind of marketplace that you would expect from an awesome con, and like other stuff around that. So I love chocolate and peanut butter. And to me, this is a little bit of the idea of, you know, I like them both individually, but what we're trying to do here is just bring them together and then do them at a scale, which we never could have imagined. Like, so, I mean, these things are huge. We've talked a little bit, but, you know, we're booking 300,000 square feet of space at these convention centers. Like, part of the reason we're going to the cities we're going to is because there aren't that many cities in the U.S. that have convention centers that can fit this thing. Like, the size of the different things we're doing here is just at a totally different level.
Yeah, it's huge.
300,000 square feet, to be precise.
300,000 yeah. plus in some cases. So, and so much to do and so many opportunities for community members to really get invested, not just in each other, but in the very elements of Halo that brought them together and in a lot of cases, established the baseline for the friendships that they still have cultivated today.
I think you and I are testaments to that.
Absolutely. My first Xbox Live friends were because of Halo. I mean, when I first got into multiplayer in Halo, it was because of the accident. So I wasn't able to walk for a year, and Halo was my first way of socializing and getting outside of my basement and talking to something other than, you know, Ezio, who didn't actually talk back. So there we go. But, you know, I got into multiplayer and was able to, because at the time it was Halo 4, and because of the way the hoppers worked and the way those lobbies worked, you were able to talk in between matches. And it was funny because you'd find people that would make you laugh. You'd find people that would make you giggle. You, of course, would find people who maybe didn't. But you find those people with a similar, for me, it was a similar comedic attachment. And that's how we ended up meeting. And that's how I ended up with my first Griffball team and how I ended up with Griffball Hub and how this whole thing, kind of my involvement in Halo started, was all because of that. So I think this is the return to that kind of community origins where you really get to see what it is that makes the Halo community so amazingly diverse and so amazingly vibrant.
Yeah, it's a really awesome franchise to really foster that kind of growth. And I mean, I'll say it over and over again. There's so many different communities built off of Halo. And for the most part, those communities have a very good relationship with one another, whether they're completely disparate or very similar. So you have a whole bunch of different lore communities. You have a bunch of different cosplay communities, artists, montage creators, competitive, and for the most part, they all interact with each other and really support each other. And it's just really cool to see how the Halo community has grown and continues to grow over time in really cool and new ways as the franchise allows it.
Yeah.
And honestly, for us, this is an opportunity to like get together and celebrate with all those communities. And ideally provide them tools as well so that they can bring in new members or bring in their plus ones who family, friends, aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, kids, whatever, who may not be as into it yet. And this is a perfect on-ramp.
Well, like I'm bringing my mom to the Houston one because that's where she lives. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and if you think about the multi-generational dynamic, this game started and came out 18 years ago. So at the time, there were young adults and kids who were just, you know, in their late teens, early adulthood, playing this game for the very first time. These players are now adults with kids who are introducing their children to that universe and that adventure and that opportunity to experience that same adventure that they went through. And it's a great way of connecting with their kids. It's a great way of helping introduce from kids to parents and vice versa. You know, there's nothing better than a cool parent who plays video games. Hello. But now you get to do it in the same game that they did, and you can sit down and take them through there. And in some cases, show your kids the ropes. In some cases, show your friends or go to your friend's house and their dad is kicking your butt at Halo. That's great. That's an incredible way of linking together different generations of gaming communities that have been building out since, you know, since the origins of Nintendo.
A fun little fact, too. CIA over from Halopedia mentioned to us earlier this week in our Podtacular Discord that the Cortana letters came out last week. So publicly, Halo has been a thing for over 20 years now.
Wow. Thanks. I feel old. I had hair back then.
Welcome to my world.
And it was blue. It was blue back then. Oh, wow. It's a head panda.
Yeah.
I'm just going to paint it on now.
It's just get the little spray.
Why does DJ look like The Last Airbender? Well, he got nostalgic with the marker. What?
All right. So next question up on the docket is, can you tell us a little bit more about Hershen Live and how they are the perfect partner to bring Outpost Discovery to life? Now, you already touched a little bit on this, John. So I don't know if there's a little more you want to dig into with Hershen or DJ, since you have a little bit more work for them. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I'll let John go first.
Cool. I think from our perspective, it's a company that's first of all, what we were impressed by is one, a company with fantastic track record and capabilities. And we saw that they know how to take experiences, move them around and engage with fan communities locally. They've been doing the Globetrotters the Globetrotters have existed for a long time. We also saw it with their theme parks. So they just quality people who know how to do things right in the right way. But the second thing is when they came to talk to us for the first time, I can actually picture the meeting. We had a group of folks from Hershen come out to 343, and the care and the respect that they showed in the kind of preparation and thinking they had done about our universe, and this was early in the conversations, was remarkable. And that actually was probably the more important thing, that here's some like-minded people who are deeply passionate about doing the right thing for their fans. And they're just like how they manage their company. They manage their company and they very seriously look at customer satisfaction as one of the top three metrics by which like their senior leaders are measured. It's just, they're doing things the right way. And so it was a match on so many levels.
That's really cool.
So from my end, so I actually work for Hershen Live, technically the Globetrotters, and which is where my position was hidden until we could finally come out and say, hey, this is what I'm actually working on. Because, of course, when everybody realized DJ's working in basketball, what? DJ plays sports ball? What are you talking about? Uh-huh, sure. That's totally what I'm doing.
You started golf ball, right? So
right? You know, there, yeah, close. There you go.
There's a ball in it, so.
There is a
when
ball.
Are we bringing, when are we bringing golf ball to the Globetrotter courts, DJ? That's my question.
You know, that I'm not going to comment because we have many more things to release in the upcoming months for information regarding things that are happening at Outpost Discovery. Right. But
if they could bring Quidditch to life, they can bring Griffball to life. How about that?
I feel like that is a potential possibility. But Hershen has made a point of ensuring that their focus is on family entertainment and making sure that it is a wholehearted effort and opportunity to build out a relationship with their clients that isn't geared towards one specific age group. They reach multi-generations, from kids to adults to grandparents. Everything from, they're involved with Dollywood and Silver Dollar Mines and all these different elements. And as I came into the company, realizing everything that they did beyond just what I remember as a child from the Globetrotters really showed me how dedicated they were to ensuring an incredible experience no matter what they're involved in. And I knew when I saw the kind of dedication that they put into their parks and the kind of dedication they put into their shows and their staff, that this was going to be the greatest opportunity for me to be part of something direct with Halo. And it has been. It has been an absolutely extraordinary adventure from the first moment I started.
That's awesome. And there's not many other people that I can think of that would even be qualified for such a position. So the fact that you're in it, I think, has made a lot of people very happy.
Really? Because it makes me kind of scared. No, I absolutely love it. And I am extraordinarily appreciative of the opportunity and the faith that has been placed in me to help bring this project to life. And just being who I am and the fact that I am kind of that spastic riffball kid, it makes my life a lot easier that I can be as energetic as possible. And it is part of what fuels the fire to get things done. And it's an adventure. It is a hand-in-hand adventure with 343 that I'm watching as this develops, and it becomes almost like an art form. And watching it happen and knowing and seeing things develop that are going to be coming out later on down the road, I am so excited to see the response from the community and to see people's faces day one when they walk into Orlando. The cameras are going to be rolling, and I am going to sit there giggling and running in place and jumping up and down, because I'm going to wait to watch all of you just freak out, and it's going to be beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
That's awesome. If you can't take it from DJ, that's going to be super exciting. Then you got some other problems.
I'd like to point out how reserved I am being right now. I haven't even screamed once. Right?
Try to keep that teen rating.
I was going to say, I'm going to start cursing soon because I'm excited too.
Oh, jeez. Well, we can bleep stuff out if things sneak through.
It happens occasionally.
I want to keep my job.
No, we have guests that just have a loose tongue, and it's like, okay. Go ahead and change the rating to 18 and we'll clear it in the packet and they're all good.
Yes.
So if your excitement gets to that point, then flow.
Yes. There we go. All right.
All right. Next question that we have is, the tagline is "Explore Halo, Become a Hero." How will people experience Halo at Outpost, and what will enable them to become the hero through the experience?
DJ, you want to jump in on this one first, or you want me to go?
I'm going to let you take this one because I want to make sure that I'm within guidelines.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and there are a couple things we haven't talked about in a ton of detail yet. So yeah. I'm going to do broad brushstrokes here, but the biggest thing is, like, again, we're building an entire outpost. Like we started from the beginning with, okay, how do we create an outpost that UNSC would send to Earth, and what are the experiences inside it? We're thinking about it from the perspective of what's going to happen before you walk in the door, what's going to happen at the door, what's going to happen as you wind your way through. And we want to make sure that there's connective tissue in everything from the fiction to some of the benefits and some of your ability to keep track of what you've done through the experiences. We want to make sure each of the individual experiences are actually centered in our lore in a smart way. And we wanted to make sure we had a diversity of experiences so that different people can get a chance to feel and play with different parts of the Halo universe in a way that'll either give them a deeper understanding of what we're about, give them a chance to share it with their squad or their family or their friends in a different way, because when you're together in person, it just is different. And or we want to give them a sense for what kind of things they're good at and they like about the Halo universe. So, you know, we want to inspire people to kind of find their role in the universe and what they love about it.
I am going to, this might be a slightly long-winded answer, and I apologize ahead of time for it, but I'm going to put it like this. Anytime previously where you've gotten a chance, with the exception of Halo Fest, which I was not part of, we've had the opportunity at events to experience Halo in new and different ways, but mostly by playing the game. This is your first opportunity to step foot directly inside of multiple different aspects of the Halo universe, and not doing it alone, not doing it at home in front of your game system and your television, but in real life. You're getting a chance to become part of that UNSC, part of that Oni ethos, and really take a look at all the different elements of Halo, whether it be the books, whether it be the history, getting to physically stand, potentially, you know, to stand next and see how tall a Jirilani is, to see how long a Spartan, how tall a Spartan really is, to take a look at a Warthog by standing directly in front of it. We all know what it's like to drift around the corner on the beaches in CE. We've accidentally killed multiple Marines doing so. And I've always felt bad about it. But being able to stand there and see the sheer size and dynamic, you know, feel of how this works out is what's going to change and make this experience something unique and something that is going to change the way people feel about Halo and really drag them back to those original origins of what made us fall in love with this. You know, somebody in chat mentioned this earlier that, you know, they gave up their PlayStation because Xbox has Halo. And I'm a huge fan of all consoles. I think gaming in general is a wonderful way of experiencing many different things in life. However, there's a reason why I will always own Xboxes, multiples, is because it's the only place I can play Halo. End of story. And you can become a hero because there's going to be opportunities to meet different people, and you're going to make new friends, and you're going to realize, guess what? The person down the street from you may actually also be a Halo fan. Imagine that, being able to meet new people local to you that you can get and play Halo with. This goes all the way back to the origins when you would drag 5 CRTs to somebody's house, or you just all get 4 people on one, you know, 26-inch tube television and sit right up next to the screen, nearly blinding yourself, goodbye retinas, and play in co-op, because you could. Well, now you get the opportunity to do that again. If I had never met Eric Rona, I never would have figured out how to shoot a sniper rifle. But it was because of the advice that he gave me at an event that changed the way that I played in the game. Did I get much better? Not really, but I felt like I did. And it's the encouragement and the positivity that experiences it. And that's what changes your gameplay. And you can become a better player. You can immerse yourself deeper into the lore. Find other people who are into the books. Find other people who are into the cinematography, into the multiplayer, into the customs, into forging. There are so many different elements that this brings the opportunity for people to learn and to experience. You never know what may now inspire you that you didn't realize was part of Halo before. And this is that chance.
So there's going to be lots of different aspects to Outpost that should really account to any particular community interest that's already out there for the Halo universe, pretty much.
Absolutely.
So how much of that is going to be pretty much your in-universe at the Outpost versus some of the things that are still, okay, this is a little bit outside because you're still playing a video game. So what's that kind of split for Outpost Discovery?
I think it's going to depend a little bit on the day in the life and your journey and what squad you're coming with. But probably the easiest way for me to divide it is in terms of physical space. 40 to 50% of the physical space is in universe, and then 40 to 50% of the physical space is it depends a little bit convention center to convention center. And this is actually where we're seeing some of the amazing magic and secret sauce that Hershent has in terms of how you operate this at different places, which are shaped very differently. But we're trying to have a pretty equal blend so that you've got an ability during the course of a day, we'll expect you to go in and out of the in-universe experiences. You know, maybe you take a break to run up to a panel to learn something new or hear from the community. You're obviously going to take some breaks to go play some games. But then you're also going to maybe be, you know, diving back in because you want to play some games in real life and go hit the crazy laser tag arena that we're building. So it should be a really nice blend.
I'm excited for that. It sounds like a lot of fun.
I got to tell you, there's a person working on the team who he was joking the other day, because last time he was in Orlando checking out some of the things that are being built, he saw a crate. He's like, oh, this is almost big enough for me. And then he basically got inside it and it was big enough for him. So the size of that space is going to be awesome. And again, like, I can't wait to see people coming in the door and just seeing the ambition and the scale that we're aiming for here. It's going to be awesome.
I remember growing up, there was a laser tag place by us called the Laser Quest, and there's a few that went away, and I don't even know if there's still a thing, but I just kind of get that nostalgic vibe of doing laser tag and putting it in a Halo setting. It's just like, okay, but let's take some really cool aspects and throw it in with laser tag, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but then, okay, then take that and imagine, I mean, we're aiming, we still got to play test it, but we're aiming to have up to 20 versus 20 matches inside the arena.
Nice.
We're talking about, like, imagine, like, obviously all of the, you know, imagine your weapon has all of the right sounds, but it also knows the different weapons that you're carrying, so that a Needler will perform differently than a grenade, will perform differently than a BR in terms of your scoring and also in terms of your accuracy and the damage it's dealing. Like,
wow.
This is not just theming. This is not just theming. It's actually trying to go beyond. And again, like, we're deep in the middle of building the stuff out. So, you know, we're evolving it, and then, you know, that's what we're aiming for. But we're aiming for something that's different than just, hey, let's paint something with Halo. We're actually aiming to create a Halo experience on top of a play pattern we know people have fun with.
And if you think about it from a community aspect, there is even more dynamic ability to play with that. So imagine we get to Orlando. Pontacular decides to gather with its community there, and you guys want to take on Ultimate Halo. Imagine being able to set up a match, Ultimate Halo versus Podtacular, or Spartans versus ODSTs. There are so many different opportunities here to really help generate that community element and determine, and I think it helps to build the camaraderie that we have come to know and love and accept as part of our cultural development with the Halo community.
That's pretty cool. Because I haven't heard of a laser tag experience quite like what you described.
When I say we're taking things to a level that I don't think people are expecting, trust me, we're taking things to a level that I don't think people are expecting.
Is that breaking new ground technically, or are there other experiences that are kind of similar and you're tailoring it?
It's some of both. Okay. I mean, we're in each of these experiences, we're trying to find the best experiences that are out there. And then obviously there's both some secret sauce from Hershend in terms of how to set this up and bring it to life in the right way, and from us to make sure that it's authentic to Halo, and we're innovating there too.
Dang. That's crazy.
And one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, part of the joy and secret of marketing is keeping some of those secrets, you know, behind closed doors and releasing them strategically. So hence little things will be coming out here and there as, you know, according to the schedule. And when those things happen, I guarantee announcements will be made.
And that's when we'll have DJ Beck on the show.
Nope, and John will be with me.
Yeah, pretty much.
The fun police will be here too.
Father, may I?
Thanks, dude.
I'm like,
actually, I think I'm the one who's already gone outside the guardrails. So,
yes, but you're the boss, so I can't.
we'll reel it back in then.
Originally, you guys were looking at like 125,000 square feet. What led to doubling the space to 300,000 square feet?
Ever seen how big a Pelican is?
When we first started pre-seeding this with you as an idea and to get feedback from the community, that the 125,000 square feet was the size that we were looking at just for the outpost itself. What we weren't telling you about then was all of the things that were going to be around it, but those are always part of the plan.
All right. So put that into perspective for those that might not know what 300,000 square feet equates to.
I mean, have you been to if anybody's been to a Super Target, we're a lot bigger than a Super Target.
For convention goers, I think they have a pretty good grasp of that, but there's probably going to be some people who have never been to a convention, whether it's because they're not old enough or don't have the means to, and this will be their first convention experience. And 300,000 square feet is no small amount of space.
Halo's always been about epic scale and awe and wonder, so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to move, but we also got to move it around the country. So we can't do all awe and wonder. We're not moving skyscrapers, but we are trying to build it at a scale that's going to be a blast.
That sounds so much more sophisticated than what I was going to say. I was just going to say go big or go home, but that works much. I like that much better.
That works too.
I mean, Halo's pretty big as it stands, so.
Yeah, but I mean, like, joking aside, one of the big criteria, one of the reasons we chose this as our first project and the idea of bringing Halo to life in the real world was we actually wanted it to be able to move around. Like, to us, it was really critical I mean, we've obviously gotten to see you at events before, and you know, we've seen DJ at quite a few things, but not everybody gets to go to E3. Not everybody gets to go to Comic-Con, and it was really critical to us and to me personally. Like, this, we wanted to be able to get there for the person who's living in Tampa, St. Pete, and may not, you know, and can't fly out to E3 or isn't going to be able to go spend a week at Comic-Con because God knows how expensive San Diego is at that time of year. Like, we're coming to you, and there's like, because we like, we got lots of fans, and we want to be where they are. So it's really critical that we actually do this we want to do it at a scale so it's awesome, but we also wanted to do it in a way where we can bring it out to the fans. And we were really, really, you know, we spent a lot of time breaking the country up into 5 regions and trying to figure out how you could put the pieces together so we could get out near as many fans as we could.
Yeah, and again, we talked about this on the show 2 weeks ago when the announcement first came out, and Kevin was on the social stream, but the first 5 cities are just the ones for now, depending on how things turn out and how many people attend and how well it's received. It's possible that we could see future dates past this. Nothing set in stone, obviously, but the possibility is there.
Yeah. I mean, look, we didn't get into a partnership with Hershen thinking we were going to do something for one summer. And if you look at their track record, when they get involved in businesses, they do them for long periods of time. And it's the same. I mean, Halo's been around. We're closing in on 2 decades, and we got lots more ahead of us, right? So a lot of the goal in, like, we've been really, there's a lot of thoughtfulness behind this in terms of how is it set up so that we can take it other places in the future. And I know we've gotten a lot of questions from our fans about, actually, I was thrilled. The number one question we got from our fans is, why isn't it near me? You know, and frankly, we're not just thinking about the US either. I'm not going to write a check that I can't cash now. But certainly, like, our goal is to be able to get this to where our fans are, and we've got to have success, and we got to learn about, you know, which experiences fans love the most, and we'll adjust over time. But certainly the vision is that this is something that we're going to be able to bring. If it's not coming close to you now, then we're going to try and get it close to you in the future.
And one thing just to add on top of that, you have to consider this is unique. This is the first time anything like this has ever been done for a game franchise ever, let alone a AAA title the size of Halo. So you have to kind of figure out how the best way to move it is. What some of, you know, what the hiccups are going to be, and then dynamically adjust as we go.
Yeah, all the trucks that's going to take to move everything.
Dude, but okay.
Oh, and
now I'm going off the guardrails a little bit, but some of the experiences have been designed so that they fit in containers and crates that will also come from this outpost the UNSC is sending to Earth. So I'm looking forward to some cool photos as a UNSC convoy rolls around this country this summer.
Oh, that would be cool.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we were allowed to say that. So
yes. I don't know if we are, but I'm excited about it, so I just did.
Well, there's going to be pictures of it probably at some point.
Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm sure it will be spotted.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's the intention, because if you think about it, I mean, how often do you see a giant UNSC convoy traveling across the entire United States? That's amazing. That is the social media elements of that alone, seeing this as it's rolling through all the different landscapes and all the different areas of the country. That's going to be incredible. Just seeing different people's pictures and people's reactions on social media is going to be awesome. Plus, adding on top of whatever footage that we can pull, and that all of the content creators that are going to be attending these different events are going to pull and post. It's so much potential, and I'm trying not to keeping myself calm. Stay calm, DJ.
All I ask is that you make sure it comes through Kansas City, and you let me know ahead of time when it's coming.
Let's see. The next thing to you would be Chicago, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be Chicago. You know, Chicago to Houston.
Yeah, Chicago to Houston. They could make it work.
I don't know. There are roads that would make that work, I believe.
Yeah, I'm currently planned for Philly because that's the one closest to me. Houston because it's where I grew up and it's where I want to take my mom, and then Anaheim because I'm going to fly into Seattle for like the pre-pack stuff, and if there is community day again, attend that if I'm invited. But fly down from Seattle or take a train from Seattle down to Anaheim and then catch Saturday and Sunday of the Anaheim show.
Awesome.
I am probably going to submit a panel for all five. So if I get the panel, then I will attend all five this year.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait.
Just to echo on that, by the way, community panel submissions are going to be opening up here soon on the website on HaloOutpostDiscovery.com. Make sure you check that out. And if you have something that your community wants to do, make sure you apply. We'd love to hear the different things the community has to present and the community has to offer. I mean, Halo is what it is because of its community and because of all the people around the world who help make this the universe that we live in. So definitely make sure that you get in on those once those open up, and those forms will be open available on the website. Just follow the link to participate.
You almost just kind of described the topic I'm going to submit for my panels. It's going to be community related.
There we go.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, super cool. And again, like we want it open, we want this open to all communities. Like we want this open to people who love Halo and people who are going to love Halo but don't know it yet and love games and science fiction or whatever else. So be creative too, because it's going to be fun and we're excited. I think we're going to have a really broad and diverse group of fans.
Well, and one of the things that was brought up during the community day thing too was that you guys were trying to make this to where you could bring your family who either may know a little bit about Halo or know nothing of Halo and really be able to appreciate the universe that's been established through the franchise.
How detailed can I go into this, John?
I don't know. It depends on what you're about to say, but it's certainly go for it. I mean, that's the goal. Like, we want that.
It wasn't necessarily a question if you can't answer it. It was just more of a general statement.
I'm going to generalize it and just make a duck sound if I go over a line there, John. One of the greatest elements of this is that it's not designed for one specific genre of gamer. There is going to be opportunities for children. There's going to be opportunities for kids and families, first timers, people who've never experienced the lore and the storyline and the passion that is involved in this enigmatic journey of Master Chief as he's saving humanity. A lot of people may not have actually gotten a chance to experience that. And so we've got parents of players. We've got parents who are players. We've got kids who are introducing their parents to games, and this huge dynamic element that is going to help establish why community is the baseline of any game and its success. The bigger the community, the greater the game and the greater the event, and the greater opportunities you have to succeed and excel in that situation. So I'm not going to go into the details right now of what those different features are going to be for those kids, but I guarantee you those announcements are going to be coming eventually. Felt like purred happily right there.
In time.
Yeah. I'm purred happily and that's my statement. Wow. Watching too much Parks and Rec.
Oh, we've been watching that too. Just kind of in the background. I think this is my wife's third time watching through it, so I'll be working on stuff on my computer, whether it's Halo stuff or Virgil stuff or whatever, and she'll be working on school stuff and have Parks and Rec on in the background. Definitely getting familiar with that. All right, next question that we have here is one of the things that was mentioned during Community Day is that they want to... Oh, I already just answered that. I asked that question. Never mind. All right, next question. We heard that 343 wants to have actors and really have that in-universe experience. So can you talk any bit about what kind of UNSC staff or personas that we will see at the Outpost?
So broad brushstrokes. We certainly within the Outpost, we will have staff in universe. We're actually going to post something tomorrow to start giving people a little bit more detail about some of the new characters that we're introducing with Outpost Discovery. So it won't just necessarily be people, like real live humans there, but it will also include some other experiences where you're going to get to meet some of the new characters of Outpost Discovery in person too. So I'll let tomorrow's post dive a little bit deeper on a couple of the characters you might have seen in the Viz ID and wondered who they were, and those kind of characters will be there in one form or another too.
Very nice. So we'll have to cover that in our next episode, which I'm not sure if we're going to do another one tomorrow or not, because there's still some news. So we'll probably do a quick one tomorrow to capture all the stuff that we don't capture today.
We're working towards making sure that every couple of weeks we're sharing a new piece of news as we start to have physical objects, because manufacturing is starting on this now, on a bunch of the elements now. We're gonna try and make sure we've got a pretty regular cadence so that we're feeding you and feeding fans.
So the next question we have, and we kind of alluded to this, maybe we can't talk about this quite yet, but since we know of it, can you expand a little bit more on Gabrielle, or do we just need to wait until tomorrow's post? Oops.
I think we're going to start talking about Gabriella, but not a ton over the, let's wait for tomorrow. Let's see what it has. And then we will come back and we'll do a whole segment on Gabriella, because it's actually, I think, going to be really exciting and fun.
Okay. Very nice. GT, you want to take the next question?
I would if you would quit skipping around.
Fire!
It's the only one.
I'll ask this one. The word is there's a new warthog for Outpost. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? The warthog itself, who's making it? Are there any other big pieces that you can talk about?
It has four wheels.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can tell you, we are absolutely making a new warthog. It is, I've actually seen images of, there's chunks of it that are already built and rolling around. So this is going to be mobile. And the intent is that you'll be able to get up close and personal and get pictures, not just in front of it, but potentially inside it. So I think we're really excited. We're building it to scale. And I think we're going to have a lot more to say about it in another probably a month or two, because we want to make sure we're far enough along where we get to actually show some really cool pictures and give people a sense of what it's going to be like.
Very nice. I don't know if you can address this, but Eric Ibu was asking what kind of is the Warthog themed on, like a particular game, so Halo 4, Halo 5 Warthog, or is this kind of a newer design, or can you not talk about that yet?
Well, I think we should wait. We should talk about that all at once when we're ready. But we have spoken, and we'll talk a little bit more tomorrow. We've spoken really loosely, and tomorrow we're going to get into some more detail in terms of exactly where and when in the Halo universe Outpost Discovery is set from a time frame point of view. And I think that might give folks some clues of the era and some of the different kinds of things they might be seeing.
Cool. All right. So this question might be a loaded question, and feel free to have a fun response to this if you so choose. Will there be any kind of Oni propaganda or presence at the Outpost?
Well, I mean,
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I can tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
We've seen in the Kill of Five trilogy, so you never know.
We're just going to replace you with a clone, Dusty. That's
apparently, I've already been replaced by a robot, so that is definitely next on the list.
Halsey is real.
Just heard it here. Just don't ship me to Midnight Facility. All right. So for DJ and myself, community meetups have been a big part of how we both individually have met and what brings us to conventions every year. So how are you planning to support the community meetups at Outpost Discovery, other than just having the Outpost there? Are there things that you're going to do to kind of like help communities organize things, or is it any kind of I guess that's kind of all I'm asking there. Is there any kind of support there for those community meetups?
Yes, I have information on that.
If not, no worries.
There are many different elements that are in the process of being developed right now in order to ensure that the communities of Halo have an incredible opportunity not only to interact, but to be featured and to help grow. I mean, communities grow through awareness, and the best way to grow that awareness is to have presence and to be featured. So those elements are currently in the process of being created. That being said, again, the community panels area is definitely a great way to get started if you want your community to have a panel and talk about something, something that your community is unique to. So like if there's a grip ball, play grip ball would be a great example for playgripball.com, which is the rest what where the community went to from when Grip Ball Hub closed down. If Play Grip Ball is going to come in and they can do, well, they will have a, they could apply to have a panel. And if it's chosen, then they could have a panel. Same thing with Podtacular or the various other elements. There is more coming, but we are still in the process of figuring out what the best way is to facilitate that in a way that is going to be most beneficial to as many community members as possible across the entire Halo community. Is that generic enough?
Sounds good enough to me. So this question is a little bit off the beaten path a little bit, but I think it's a fun little question that might not really be too far off the beaten path. Food themes in the outposts, so Moa burgers?
I was afraid you were going to say something about food nipples, and I was like, good lord.
Well, we could go there, too, I think.
Sorry.
Food nipples! It's more.
Food nipples?
Okay, so this is what needs to happen. If anyone who's listening to this podcast, I know there's very few, but if this catches the wind of someone who has food trucks in any one of the cities that this is going to, you need to have a themed menu that's Halo food related and bring it to the convention.
Well, and I also feel like this is an opportunity for maybe somebody in the community to start looking back into the lore through the books and through some of the legends and some of the documentation and see, are there Sangili recipes? You know, maybe, possibly.
Well, they did mention barbecued Kolo.
Right?
Yeah, basically like a cow for the in the Kilo 5 trilogy.
And that's a good community panel opportunity to apply for. Hey, listen, learn to cook like a Sangili. You know, there you go. You just have to, right?
Get Dr. Leo with his Sangheili costume.
His cosplay? Yeah. That was pretty epic. Not gonna
lie. That was really epic. Peter did a great job with that. Fantastic job. I think Misa brings up a good question. I don't know if we want to get into that a little bit later, because I think I have a question that would kind of tie into that. So I'll go ahead and write that one down. But the next question we have here is 343 has recognized supported Halo communities like content creators in the past, ForgeHub, Griffball, Halopedia, Installation 01. Will we see them at the Outpost?
I feel like that's part of the community. I feel like that's part of the community element.
I sure hope so. I mean, yeah. I sure hope so. I don't know that we can promise it up front, but we want that, and we're working to make sure we're providing different forums and facilities and ways for that to happen. 100%.
And if you have ideas, am I allowed to say that? Like, I am being the event programming manager means that it's not just me creating this. This is a massive effort by an incredible group of people. And a lot of what I have been building out has come in a form of and developed from initial suggestions from the community. So if you have suggestions on different ways that you feel would be a great advantage on how to feature different elements of the community and different communities from within Halo, let me know. Send me a message. You can find me on Twitter at DJBluePDX. You can also DM me there or in Discord or on Xbox Live. Yeah, I am always down to listen to all sorts of different creative opportunities for us to help increase the success of this endeavor.
And this is probably something that will, pardon the pun, but evolve over time, right?
Yes. Yes. And I know John can confirm this one. If you look at where we were when we were planning in December compared to where we are now, the consistent organic evolution of this has been amazing, and watching with the directions that it has changed and the places that it has gone and where we've, in some cases, where we have developed to, and in other cases, where we've come back to, it has been uniquely educational just in seeing what's worked and in some cases what needed to be improved on. And we have done an amazing job of adjusting and learning from that, as well as identifying new and amazing ideas of how we can implement things that will just add to the overall success of the experience for each of the attendees.
Definitely listening and learning. And I'll double down on deep, like, if people have great ideas of what more we can do or how to get communities involved, let DJ know. Cause we want to hear, and we're you know, we got a great group of people who are busting their butts to try and do everything possible to light this up. And ultimately, this is about bringing people together and helping all of us share the Halo we love with people close to us. So we want those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember sitting down with KP after Community Day for probably about an hour and a half, going over ideas in the short amount of time I had to write stuff down. So they're definitely looking for ideas.
We took a ton of notes that day, and a lot, you know, as many as we can, we're getting in.
I remember when I got pulled to the side after that meeting, and I thought, oh, God, I talked too much.
Well,
nope. Actually, it was the opposite.
That's just one
more, right? Yeah. It was that I talked too fast and they couldn't write that fast.
There you go. So panels are a big part of any convention. So what kind of panels are you expecting to have at the outposts? Stuff like developers, voice actors, artists, coders, writers, authors, other than the community stuff. Very nice.
Will there be any official Halo streamed content like the panels?
What do you mean by streamed content?
Like, you know, streaming the panels on Mixer or Twitch or.
Oh, I'm sorry. We will. Yes, there will absolutely be. And DJ can talk more to this than you know, more specifically. But absolutely. Like, we want this to be a shareable event. And so we absolutely want to make sure there's ways for people to stream from the event, for local streamers to come in and bring audience there and also share with audience that can't be there. But also, there's a little bit of a balance because I want to make sure that there's a benefit and there's some special stuff for the people who are there in person.
Yeah, we want to make sure that while we are driving and creating content and opportunities for people to get the best out of the experience, we also want to make sure that there is some exclusivity that is offered for those who are attending the events and something special for them as well. So it is a fine balance that is currently something we are working on, and that it is, and there are many people who are helping identify what the needs are and what those elements are going to be and what's going to take priority when it comes down to the final product.
Cool. There's going to be a lot of really exciting stuff.
Yeah. You have no idea.
Oh, I am.
It's going to be awesome.
And what little I do know, it's still exciting. I know there's some things I can't talk about that I know. There's a whole bunch of other things that now I know DJ knows. Is like, well, yeah, it'll be fun to be on the receiving end of some of that stuff.
And we want to have some surprises, too. I've always joked about... I've used a joke because I've seen it at E3 and other places, but I love how the folks running Sea of Thieves will just pop up with pirate bands from here and there. So we also want to make sure we've got just some fun surprises too. So not everything has to take the shape of a panel, but there's going to be some really cool programming.
So if your house band or local choir wants to gather into some sort of a closed concrete space and sing the Halo song, send us a video. Let us know. That might be a really good way to do a flash mob. Who knows?
Halo Challenge version right? 2.
Oh my goodness. Go. Every local choir rolling in with the Halo theme song surrounding the entire convention center. I'm not saying that I would freak out, but I would freak out.
Try to set some world records at Outpost Discovery.
It's a good community goal.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. Will there be any kind of competitive Halo at these events?
Competition's part of what we do. And so I think you can expect to come and play and compete with people. And, you know, we also want to make sure there's on-ramps for new players to learn different ways of playing Halo. So I think there's going to be a lot for any kind of player. And that's one of the ones that that's probably going to require its own conversation and a more in-depth one in the future when we're ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Are there any plans for tabletop games in addition to console PlayStations?
Well, ping pong. I mean, obviously ping pong, but no. Tabletop gaming. So those elements are all, again, still part of the development process, and there are a lot of different opportunities and different angles to which we need to make sure that we are giving a wide berth to be able to feature as well as represent on a lot of different levels and make sure that we've got them in the right space so that it's Because you've got to consider, and this is the technical side of it. You've got to consider traffic flow. You've got to consider what your opportunities are and how that all folds out and what the best way is to ensure that that experience is cohesive and feasible for all the people who are attending. So there is conversations about that. But like I said, it is something that is still in the works. And once we get something a little more locked down, then we'll have something to talk about at a later date. Plus, we don't really want to give away all the secrets at once. I mean, a couple, but not all.
Right. Very cool. I just think of some of the games, like there's the Halo Risk and the Halo Bang and the Fleet Battles, Yep, Spartan Games. But it's just kind of it would be interesting to have something.
I'm terrified
like
of
that.
Risk. I'm terrified of the game of Risk. I watched my parents almost get divorced 3 times over that game, and now there's a Halo version of it. Wow.
There's been one out for a while.
To use that as a micro example, I will actually one up you. And again, like we don't have the plans finalized, and we want to make sure that, you know, that we got to make sure we nail the space usage the right way. But ultimately, like, we want there to be spaces for all kinds of gamers to feel welcome and feel like they can come and share what they love and also share it with new people and share it with people that are close to them. So, like, I don't even think you need to. Like, if we're able to create a good space for tabletop gaming, for example, I would want, of course we want Halo Risk there, but we want other tabletop games that don't just they don't all have to be Halo. Like, we want this to be open to people who love Halo and love in Halo, they love games, right?
And of course, if community members have ideas or thoughts on this, I would love to hear them. Please feel free to reach out to me at any point in time with your suggestions, and that is all part of this collective process. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was so important in having somebody, you know, a member of the community as part of this, is because that's how we grow and how we build and how we make sure that we are considering as many different people's ideas and needs as possible so that we make the greatest experience for all of our attendees.
Basically help us help you type of thing.
Absolutely. You know me, I love to talk to people.
I'm sure we could have plenty of follow-on conversations after this podcast. So what games will be at the PlayStations? Like, we're looking at MCC and Halo 5 type of stuff.
At this time, we are currently not ready to release that information yet.
Oog, you know what I mean.
Then there will be Xboxes, not PlayStations. But yes, I'm sorry, I may have jumped on early on that one, but we have that.
Console gaming stations, how about that, Oog?
Game stations. Yeah. So, we're all in due time.
Yep.
Getting bashed in the chat over here. So, one of the things that the community has noticed, and one of the things that a lot of people actually brought up during Community Day last year, was a lot of the conventions that normally take place, like San Diego Comic-Con, RTX, PAX West, or PAX Prime, take place during these Outpost Discovery events. And we kind of mentioned it on the podcast a couple weeks ago, why they are where they are and when they are. But this is kind of an official response to it. Can you guys kind of chime in on the decisions on when and where you decide to have the Outpost?
Yeah, I mean, at the highest level, again, we're fans and we're gamers too, and we go to a lot of those things too. And we recognize that summer is a great time when people go to conventions and events and they travel with their families. And so, you know, we looked at all that and said, there's room out there for us. We want to do it in a way that is, we want to do it in a way that's getting to, within reach of big clusters and big groups of our communities and fans. And, you know, if it so happens that, we're on the East Coast in Orlando and we're not trying to compete with Comic-Con, because we know people are going to go to Comic-Con and that's amazing. And I love going to Comic-Con. But we also want to make sure we've got something going on at different part of the country at a similar time, so that for people who are in Tampa and are looking for something awesome to do and can roll over to Orlando, or people who are already traveling to Orlando and are going to add on to their trip, or people who are in Georgia and love Halo and that's the city that makes the most sense for them, this is their outlet. So we went through a deep and super detailed like planning process, looking at populations and different kinds of populations and gamers and how many are in the cities and how many people travel to different cities, and did our best to build a first tour for 2019 that makes the most sense and is accessible to as many people as possible.
Very nice. All right. On to the questions that I feel might get the not ready to talk about, even though we kind of hit those a little bit early on. But yeah. is there a Halo Duck equivalent in the universe?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I just can't come up with it off the top of my head.
I'm testing. Well, I'm texting Jeff Easterling right now.
Yeah, that's the closest thing I can think of is the MOA. Yeah, I don't know. That's might need to be put in Infinite as the Easter or something. The Halo Duck.
There's going to be a panel about animal sounds in the Halo universe.
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
there's going to be an Warthog Insurance brought to you by Aflac. Aflac.
Oh, jeez. That's good.
You know how much my insurance bill would be?
Oh.
Yes. You know how much my splatter insurance would be if we actually had insurance on Warthogs? My God.
50 credits. Dang it.
Right? Here goes all of my armor points. Rip reach.
You need Mishak to go farm some more on Ungoy Farmer. All right. So for those that have been fortunate enough, the Halo Museum at 343 Industries is quite the ordeal. Will the Outpost Museum have some of the same items in it, or will we see some new special things there specifically for the Outpost?
Lots of new special things. We will have some things if you've had a chance to go through the museum at 343. There are a couple things that are unique and only exist there, but we're creating a lot of exciting new things. And that's like, I can't wait till when we can start sharing some pictures of what's getting built. It's going to be awesome. I think you saw hints of it in the concept art from the announcement trailer, but there's more than that.
Yeah, we certainly did. That's why I asked.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome. I'm super geeked out about that. There's a lot of cool new stuff that has never been seen before that we're making.
Very cool. For the target range, will it be Boomco or something else? And if it is Boomco, will we see any new Boomco blasters debut at the Outpost?
Boomco blasters. I think we'll leave it at that for now.
So I can bring my armory of Boomco blasters because I think I have about 30 of them.
Bonus points.
You have to load your own clips, dude.
Oh, they're loaded. I plan on making an armory wall down here in my basement, and I just haven't had a chance to do it, but I have both colored ARs. I have the shotgun, the Blazing Warrior shotgun, or the Oathsworn shotgun. I have the Needler, carbine, the plasma rifle. I think I have 5 of the red and blue pistols and the primary plasma pistol variants, and then I have 2 of the green pistols and then the special plasma pistol variant. I have the ODST AR and pistol. I have the spiker.
Jeez.
The special spiker and the regular spiker.
Damn, you're putting me to shame now, and I thought I had them all.
I have the weird target designator looking one.
I have the SMG.
Yes, we don't refer to that as weird, by the way. Just sort of, you know, well, for proper. What?
Okay, since you're here, I know this is totally not related to Outpost Discovery, but since you're here, what the heck is that thing?
It's we call it a modified target designator.
Okay. Okay.
let's go back to Outpost Discovery.
I've got 2 sets of chess pieces and the grenades as well.
Oh, sweet. Yes.
I literally have everything that's out there, except I think there's one that was released in Mexico, which hasn't made its way to the States yet. Or Canada, one of the two. There's one out there I know I don't have, and there's a couple of other ones that I know are coming that I know about that I'm not allowed to talk about. So, okay, so Boomco on the target range. Next question here is, the combat arena sounds a lot like the Boomco arena at San Diego Comic-Con. Is the experience similar, or has it expanded to more than just that?
Yeah, I think we talked about that one earlier. It is it is expanded. Oh, yeah. That one's going to be awesome.
Yeah. 20 versus 20 is going to be insane.
If you saw what was in San Diego, we have more than Spartan-sized it.
So I'm going to have to pull a San Diego, and I might have to rent a couple of GoPros to stick them on cosplayers and have them go through and try to actually get on time, release a montage of the arena.
Yeah, no, this is a totally different scale and totally different experience. And again, like, it's certainly, there's an homage to, and we learned a lot from San Diego Comic-Con, but this is a different animal, and I think people are going to be really excited.
So this is a question off the beaten path a little bit, but I think it applies. Going back to my Laser Quest comment, there were screens up in the waiting area that you could see the active game going on, like around the kind of outside areas of the arena. Just shooting that up as an idea, but is that something that's kind of on the radar, or is that a new thing?
We're looking at ways where we can bring cameras or recording to different experiences, so you don't have to be in the experience itself to enjoy what your friends or new friends are doing or what different communities are doing. But we haven't locked those plans yet. It's certainly something we're cognizant of, because we want to be able, like, some of the experiences, we want experiences to be awesome when you do them, but we also want them to be shareable for people who aren't in the thick of it.
Yeah. Like photo booths or something. Like one of those, take a ticket and purchase your photo or video or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, there are a bunch of different ways. I don't know about the specific ideas, but I know we want to make sure that there's fun things for people to do. We want people, I mean, just honestly, just like playing games is great and streaming games is great, right? So that same philosophy. We want people to enjoy doing it. We want people to be able to enjoy watching it.
Cool. So we heard there's going to be
Some exclusive items going to be available at the PX. Any hints as to what kind of items it might be, aka the return of the Grunt plushie?
Well,
no hints today, but we're working on putting together, we're working on making sure we have photography of items or good renders of items, so we can actually do a blog post and let people know some of the cool things that will be there.
Cool. Is dog tags something that you guys thought about? Because I know that's one of the things that a few different places I've gone to is just kind of one of those cool. If it's military themed, there's usually a dog tag printer of some kind.
There. That is something. Yes. So that seems like something that we've thought about. Yes.
Or like a holo tag of some kind would be kind of universe themed. Something along that line would be kind of cool.
Just a barcode.
Beep. For those familiar with escape rooms, what can you tell us about the Covenant escape room experience? Will it be similar to other escape rooms with regards to puzzles and layouts? Can you tell us more about the scenario?
I'll give you a general rundown. That's cool.
We're verging on duck territory here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just going to...
So I guess I'll say
I'm just going to repeat what's basically on the website. You're going to be able to explore a reclaimed section of a Covenant ship in this, and it's an escape room style experience. What you'll be able to do is the people inside are going to have to familiarize themselves with various high-risk boarding maneuvers and strategies commonly undertaken by the UNSC. And as the challenge intensifies, guests must work together to disable the Covenant technology as quickly as possible in order to set themselves free. So the key, again, is working together. It is a community-based experience, and you want to cooperate and create that team dynamic to really get the most out of the experience.
So I guess to kind of pull back the question to be a little more generic, for those that have done escape rooms, are the puzzles going to, like the type of puzzles, are they still going to be somewhat familiar for people that have done them before?
Here's the two things. Nice. Okay. Here's the two things that I will say.
I thought
say
that would be
that.
Generic enough, but I guess not.
Well, first of all, here's what I'm super excited about. We've never built before a physical Covenant space. And so for me, number one is this is like the first time we've ever done it and people are ever going to be able to actually experience a physical Covenant space. Second thing is we're working with a fantastic company that has done escape room or escape room type experiences, you know, in a number of places and, you know, in big high quality installations. So it's going to be good. And then I think beyond that, this is one of those ones where we don't want to give too much away. Like, we want people to be able to go and experience and check it out in person first time.
Yep. And I'm just warning anybody who goes in with me, I'm going to spend the entire first time in there just standing there and looking at stuff. I'm just going to be like, wow. Yeah. Right. Oh,
I know there's something that's stream worthy.
Yes. Just that wide eyed look of, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So yeah, I guarantee that if I get early access, I'm going to spend like 3 hours just standing in the middle of it, doing nothing. Get out, oh, DJ, geez. Get out. But yeah.
Let someone else have a turn.
I think the other thing I'll say is that the folks on our franchise team have done just such an amazing job of really making sure every one of these experiences is has new information so that for deep fans, there's going to be new stuff you've never seen before or elements of things that you've never, you know, that you're going to learn about. And this is one where it's just awesome that this is coming to life and the sort of the depth of the setting and the thought behind it is on so many levels, not just in terms of the mechanics of what you're doing, but in terms of the lore behind it.
And if you're not familiar with the lore, this is a great opportunity to spend the time between now and when the project launches to get in with the books, start reading the background stories and taking a look at some of the different elements and the secrets that are hidden inside of all the different Halo novels, because that is where the best information and the best places to access your imagination are located.
Yes, Eric Hibu, that means a naked.
I can neither confirm nor deny any conversation of that level has happened. Quack, quack.
I put this in the chat, but Tom French needs to work on the Halo duck now.
He's a pretty busy guy. I think you need to let him know that. I'm not gonna bug him with that one yet.
Okay. I'll just get Psycho Duck to tell him, hey, we need a duck in the Forge.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That makes a sound.
There we go.
For the virtual reality training grounds, is this similar to the Halo Recruit experience in the Windows 10 VR, or is this a completely new experience?
Completely new experience. This is the things that we've said about this and are willing to say right now is it's completely new. This is it's competitive and it is squad based.
Ah, very cool. I think I saw somewhere where it's like squads of three.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that was in the trailer.
Cool.
Okay. Monk, over here just being silent. Plucking out all of my feathers.
All right, for Pelican trainings, because I know there's probably not going to be much info on this, but can I finally fly a Pelican? Quack.
let's leave some mystery about that. We'll definitely talk more about each of these experiences, you know, in advance. It's February, man. We're not launching until July. Like, let's pace ourselves.
Yeah.
Like I said, I figure these last questions are probably going to be the ones that get quacked out. This one was asked by Misa earlier. She says she's been getting a lot of questions from community, and I think this is one that's probably within the realm of being able to be at least briefly mentioned. But what are the anticipated wait lines for some of the experiences, and how are you going to handle those wait lines?
Two things here. We've done a lot of modeling, and actually this is a cool thing that we've learned about working with the folks from Hirschen. I mean, they did a lot of modeling based on how many people they expect there to be on a Friday versus a Saturday, a morning versus an afternoon, to try and make sure we're setting ourselves up for success, meaning that people are going to be able to experience the things they want to. That doesn't mean that there aren't going to be lines and wait lines, and we understand that. Some of these experiences have lower throughput, you know, fewer people can go through a 3 versus 3 than can go through a 20 versus a 20, right? But we've designed the overall experience so that there's a lot of programming and a lot of these individual attractions so that there's like a good flow of people and you're always going to be able to get to that next thing you want to do. So that's number one, that's big brushstrokes. Number two, the second thing that was really important for us is we didn't want to create like a fast pass two-tiered system. But what we did is we created a VIP ticket so that folks who are buying the VIP tickets are going to be able to get in first thing in the morning and have an hour ahead of time. and then they're going to be able to have that extra hour at the end of the day. And we are very specifically going to cap the number of VIP tickets in each city so that we make sure that those folks have an amazing experience and they're definitely going to be able to get through a bunch of these without too many people around so that they can kind of go fast and check everything out and then decide what they want to go back and do again.
And okay. Just to echo on that, one of the biggest and most unique opportunities that I have with my position is ensuring that we do have a wide array of opportunities and experiences that are designed to engage the community in multiple different areas so that there isn't a stack up in one location. And there's always going to be something to capture your attention at some point somewhere in the experience. And there won't be a whole lot of, in my opinion, I don't foresee there being, at least for me, a lot of time to just stand around because I'm, of course, will be running all over the place anyways, as I would be at any of these things. But as this gets developed and as more detail comes out, you're going to find out a little bit more about all the different things that you're going to want to experience and see when you're there.
There you go. There's your answer.
And once. Yeah, there we go.
That's true.
No, but it's certainly something, like, again, it's something we're thinking about and we want to make sure there's a great experience. But also, you know, we're expecting there to be a good number of people. So, you know, there are a couple of different ways to handle it. And, you know, we wanted to have that VIP experience for people who want to get through all the attractions and sort of see them all and be able to sort of move around. But we also wanted everybody to be able to have a good experience, which is why there's such a variety and frankly, why we're building something with so much space so we can have a ton of different experiences. So there's always something awesome to go do next.
And yep. As I mentioned before, it's the community aspect and element of this is really, truly what I consider groundbreaking in the overarching scheme of what's happening. Because if you think about the different team dynamics, for example, of the Covenant Escape and, you know, the combat deck and VR and the gaming and the panels, all these different things are things you want to do with your friends. So this is a great opportunity for different communities to choose a city, pick a city and gather. And everybody head there. Who's your favorite streamer? Is your favorite streamer going to be at Philly? Gather at Philly. If, you know, your favorite Mixer partner or Twitch partner or Facebook gamer is going to end up being at Chicago, gather at Chicago. Have a meetup there. Then you guys can engage in these different experiences together. And it really helps to build out that bond that is what Halo kicked off 20 years ago.
Yep. Well said.
Very nice.
So,
Yeah, can't really top that. It's pretty much the best Halo experience that has ever been created and probably, at this point, one that people want to go to if they really want that Halo experience.
Yep.
For avid Halo lore fans, are there any new story tidbits that will be found at the Outpost?
Can't talk about it.
Quack.
Check us out tomorrow. You'll start to see pieces.
Okay.
Here we go.
For the Mega Construct stuff, what will fans be able to do there? So kind of, can you expand a little bit more on what that area is? And judging by the run of questions right now, that might be a quacker as well. But is it going to be similar to how we've seen some of the Mega Construct areas at San Diego Comic-Con, RTX, other conventions?
Yeah, so that's a good way to handle the answer. So the short answer is yes, it'll be similar to that, but we will also have building spaces too, because we want to make sure that there's an opportunity for people to just be active and have some construction time.
There's a tabletop quote unquote game is building your own constructs figure or whatever set. There you go.
One of the hardest things in this whole project is there's so much that we can do. And then you got to just get through the, like, okay, what physically can we pull off? And so I think one of the things I want to make sure we say tonight and for the community folks to be aware of is, and DJ mentioned this earlier, this is brand new. We're learning. We're going to iterate. And we're going to do our best to make sure we have the best experiences we can. But we also want to make sure we got feedback loops. So there's going to be building experiences. And ultimately, if it turns out, you know, that we need to adjust and, you know, we're going to add new building experiences, awesome. So we're going to learn and iterate over time and keep building this.
I'm excited to see how it evolves over time.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun. Actually, I do. I think, and ultimately, what to me, it's going to be super exciting to see what kind of communities are in which spaces, and how even just the different cities lend themselves to different communities. Because I think it's they're all going to have their own flavor, which is going to be awesome. I'm so excited, like, you know, because I'm going to be at all of them, obviously, and we're going to have a bunch yep. of folks from 343 at different ones, and I think it's going to be really fun to see how they feel and not just how they evolve from us, but how does the community evolve, and how does the participation change the flavor of, you know, Houston versus Anaheim or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Different opportunities for different communities to gather. And so as we move forward into, you know, different events, if those of you who are watching or listening to this podcast down the road, if you're going to end up being at South by Southwest Gaming, I will be there. I will also be at PAX East. If you see me, please feel free to stop me. If you've got some of those ideas or you just want to have a conversation, to just kind of share some of your thoughts on what you're most excited to see and some of the things that you hope you'll get to experience at Outpost Discovery, because I can always take those ideas back and share them with the team.
Never hurts to ask.
Yep, always. And that's part of why I'm here.
Worst thing that can happen is someone quacks.
I'm waiting for you to walk now. Up behind me at South by Southwest with a rubber chicken and just be like...
we need some kind of Halo duck. But yeah. And it could be just an inside joke. Just be like... some instead of like a challenge coin, you hand out a Halo duck.
Well, can I say what happened in Atlanta?
Quack. We have the Marketplace, which was one of the new things that we saw get announced during the trailer. Is this going to be similar to, say, the show floor at a PAX or a Comic-Con, or is this space meant to be a little bit different?
DJ, do you want to talk about this one? I mean, my sense is it's really a little bit of both. I mean, certainly, like, this is a fan event, and I think there are some tried and true things that fans enjoy, and there are communities and groups that, you know, that show up at these different events that people love. So there's some of that, but we're also, I expect there'll be a couple surprises and some fun things throughout.
Yeah, there is going to be a combination of both elements, but the key is if it's what I would expect to see at a fan event specifically. So if there is local communities, if Podtacular wants to have a booth that you guys can broadcast directly from at, you know, there's an opportunity for you to do that. There's going to be vendors there, local vendors, national vendors, suppliers, all sorts of different elements. We want to try and have as diverse of a group of people representing their wares and representing the needs, wants, or opportunities for our attendees. So, yeah. And of course, if you are interested as a community in getting an exhibitor space, simply go to the website at halooutpostdiscovery.com and click on the link, fill out the application, get the information.
There you go. He's on speed tongue again.
Sorry.
Excitement abounds.
It is. I'm really excited.
You can't tell.
Oh, I am too.
Like, I haven't stopped grinning this whole time.
Do you have any partnered exhibitors that you can announce at this time?
Not yet.
Nope.
Quack. So this is stuff that I brought up during Community Day. Should I ask these things or should I hold these things off the table? If you guys are looking at the questions I sent.
Yeah, I'd probably hold off. I actually think okay. We're probably getting to a point in time where we may need to start wrapping up because we're going to, I don't want to over abuse my quacking. My bill's going to get tired.
Okay. All right. So I will save those questions for a possible other time. When there is more information out and about.
And it's obviously not just going to be me. It's going to be James. It's going to be Jeff. It's going to be a bunch of folks at the studio. We have an amazing team working on this and obviously amazing team over at Hershen. So I think there's going to be we're going to want to come back. We're going to want to talk and we're going to want to listen. So there's going to be a ton of opportunities along the way.
Very nice. And Oogie is just making all the duck jokes in the chat.
Well done, Oogloff.
All the ones that he can muster right now.
So there we go. All right.
So this has been a very awesome opportunity. Again, I think you, DJ, he was the one that was pulling a lot of the strings to make this happen. And we are very, very fortunate, for reasons I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share, but we are very fortunate to have both DJ and John on the podcast. And I think the plan is to, as things start to get announced, we might have them on maybe one or two more times before the roadshow actually hits the streets. But for the most part, we are trying to stay on top of this as much as possible, because I think this is going to be one of those experiences that if you are a Halo fan of any kind, you do not want to miss out on this for 1 second.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to see everybody there. Honestly, the summer is going to be amazing. I cannot wait.
I'm already booked on 3. I'm going to try to get to all 5 in some form or fashion. So we'll see how that goes. But DJ and John, I thank you so much for your time tonight to tell us a little bit about Discovery a little bit more. And we got a few little sneak peek tidbits, which was kind of cool. I don't know if they'll make the final edit. It'll be up to 343 on whether or not those edits make it in. But for those that are on the live stream, you have kind of a little exclusive look into a couple of things. Is there any kind of final comments or statements that you want to make about Outpost Discovery before we wrap up?
I think we've said a lot, but again, I would just emphasize, like, it's such an amazing journey, and this is ultimately for us. This has all come out of our experiences with fans and us being fans. And so it's a labor of love, and we can't wait to share it with you. And we want to hear from you along the way of how we can make it better and more. And it's so anyway, there's just nothing but excitement here.
And I'll just go ahead and say, to stay up to date with all the latest developments with Halo Outpost Discovery, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Halo Outpost, or head over to the website to get tickets for the city nearest to you at HaloOutpostDiscovery.com.
There you go. Very nice.
Awesome. All right, thanks,
guys.
Why do
we have people already asking about MySpace?
Oh, dear God.
Why? Why?
Stop watching the stream on Nightscape Navigator. Good Lord. All right.
No.
Where did you see MySpace?
Ramus in the Mixer chat. So what about MySpace?
Nope.
No, just no.
No.
No, there's no MySpace Podtacular. Stop it. All right, we're gonna end this before any more MySpaces get posted. All right, so for your own personal stuff, where can people find both you guys? I know, DJ, you're all over the place, so let's start with you.
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DJBluePDX, or right here on Mixer at mixer.com/DJBluePDX.
All right, and John?
Yeah, for me, I tend to keep a little bit lower profile, but you can find me on Twitter at Juan's Amigo, and hopefully back here from time to time.
Yeah, and I'm also going to shout out that DJ streams probably, what, 4 times a week?
Yeah, right now I am very, very busy, so I am streaming primarily on the weekends and Friday nights. So, yeah.
I definitely recommend checking out the streams. I try to catch every single one that I can. And it is definitely worth the time and effort. He is very entertaining, both on and off camera.
And Sundays are usually Halo days, so there you go.
Yeah. I try to jump in those every now and then.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode. Hopefully most of it stays in. But for the most part, we will be back in our next episode. I don't know if we're going to do another one tomorrow for those listening live and do just a short news show or not, but you can check us out over on our social media, podtacular.com/Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We also have our website, podtacular.com. You can find out more about all of our other social media and resources over there. Also hop into the Discord and check us out as well. No, stop it with the aim and facts. Jeez, guys. Okay. All right, so that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We are so excited for Outpost Discovery and can't wait to see what's going to be coming tomorrow and what's going to be coming down the months to come until we hit our first stop in Orlando. So, really excited. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks.